Jeff Street is a well-regarded businessman whose impressive career has emanated from a foundation of using technology. He is a serial entrepreneur, industry strategist, and a catalyst for change. As co-founder of the VIA Consulting Group, he has routinely positioned himself at pivotal junctures to develop and implement business protocols that yield measurable results for clients while modeling positive change within the industry. His thought leadership and business acumen have afforded him opportunities to develop many other companies and to help others build personal and professional frameworks for success. With 21 plus years of experience in building complex business and technology solutions, Jeff has owned the ability to assist businesses, governments, and multinational entities, communities, and individuals with strategic insight and effective tools for increasing revenues, reducing expenses, and transforming business cultures for lives for the better. He has advised and consulted numerous countries, Fortune 100 companies, top government officials, and community leaders. His knowledge of business is enhanced by his vision. He is a disruptor, an innovative entrepreneur who sees important connections before they materialize. Jeff believes that collaboration is key to delivering sustainable impact. With his life mission at a core, Jeff has expanded his footprint beyond just doing business for profit, but has integrated all of his efforts on his life purpose and advancing the kingdom of God. Jeff is a graduate of Morehouse College and a veteran of the United States military. His commitment to personally serving others extends to the community, where he is active on several corporate and nonprofit boards, including Faith and Family and Greater Atlanta Christian School. However, the titles for which he is most grateful are husband and father. He and his wife, Tracy, live just outside Atlanta with their two daughters. I had the opportunity to meet Jeff for the first time through the King Movement, and having a chance to talk with him and meet with him, you really hear his passion and his desire, and I'm always impartial to people who believe in collaboration and bringing people together rather than separating. So without further ado, I want to welcome with us today Jeff Street.
Well, good morning to you. I got a few things I'm pulling out of my bag here, so just give me a second. But it is indeed an honor and a pleasure to be here. I don't know how much I shared with Pastor Walker, but you know, some of the brothers in King who know me, they probably wouldn't believe this, but when I first met Tracy, I really didn't know business. And I was very timid. And I remember just telling Tracy, my wife, that I believe God gave me a vision. I told her that when we first met, and I continued telling her when we were married. And Tracy, I don't know if you remember, you went and got, I think you were pregnant with Kennedy, and you went and got business cards. And on the business cards, it was Kentech. And I didn't know anything about business. And my wife believed in me. And she just got business cards and gave them to me. And you don't know when someone just believes in you, even though God gave you a word, even though you tell people, even though she was listening, to have someone just believe in you. It's such a blessing, such a blessing. So thank you. Thank you, Tracy. I don't think I would be here today, quite honestly, standing before you. But also, you know, when I got saved and I was 21 years old, and it wasn't popular to, at that time at least, I didn't know anyone who was going to go in business to advance the kingdom of God and use business as the source for that, you know. And so for a long time, you know, just felt lonely. Me and my family, we just would do the things of God. We would help build things. We'd help build churches. We'd build businesses. We'd give tithes and offering. But for a very long time, you know, it just felt like I was just going through the motion. Not as a Christian, not as an ambassador for Christ, but just did not feel like I fit into the body of Christ. It wasn't really until I began meeting Pastor Walker. He just took me in, and it's like for the first time I felt like, wow, you know, this is good. You know, I'm not just this business guy here to be on a board of a church. I'm not just this business guy to give money. There is a place for me. There's a place for me in God's kingdom. And, you know, with Tracy and Pastor Walker and First Lady and you and the brothers, Doug and Phil and Rob and other brothers, Earl, you know, it's like every time we are together, you remind me that there's a place, I have a place in the kingdom. But I'm here to remind you just as much that you have a place in the kingdom. Amen? So it's not just about me. And so it's enough about me, and I'm going to talk more and more about you. You have, I have, we have a place in God's kingdom. Can you say that with me? Say, I have a place in God's kingdom. Say, I am the apple of God's eye. I am his prize. I am his joy. He loves me. God loves you. You know, if Jesus was walking on the earth today, it's okay. I feel like we're family. It's okay if I can just walk around. I feel like if Jesus was walking on the earth today, he would use mobile technology as an example of the kingdom of God. And I believe Jesus would say that the kingdom of God is like a mobile phone that's connected to a cell tower. Now, you are the mobile phone. Say, I am a mobile phone. Now, when the service is over, you're not a mobile phone, okay? So, but for service purposes, you're a mobile phone. And cross-culture church is one cell tower. And then you have a command center, and it's called the Kingdom of Heaven. So are you with me? Because this is very important. We got to lay this foundation in order to follow where the Lord is taking us. So say, I am a child of God. I'm a mobile phone. We are a cross-culture church. We're a cell tower. And the kingdom of heaven is the command center. If you believe that, clap your hands. Come on, I don't hear you. So, just some pastors have, you know, closing messages three or four times they close. I got three or four beginning messages. But we're going to go somewhere. It's amazing to me when I gave my life to the Lord, how the Lord began teaching me time. And we'll go to the first slide there. There are three things that I think it's important for you as a mobile phone, as a child of God, to understand. And that is time, timing, and your place in history, or your place in time. I believe that if you don't understand time, timing, and your place in time, you're going to miss out. Either you're going to be history, meaning you're done, doesn't mean you won't go to heaven, but you would just pass through time, or you will make history. So I believe every one of us today have an opportunity to decide, are you going to be history just done? And time has passed and no one would know that you were born or that you lived or that you died. Or are you going to leave a mark in time that no man will ever forget that these people who walked in cross-culture church, they put a dent in society, they put a dent in history that can never be erased. For the glory of God. Amen. I believe when we walk out this door, we're going to be equipped by the power of the Holy Spirit to do the things that God's called each and every one of us to do. You know, one of the things that God kind of trained me to do at a young age after I got saved was to be able to go and assess situations, whether it's corporations, governments, or countries. So when I met Pastor Walker 2 or 3 years ago, we knew some of the same friends. You know, he knew him for 20-some-odd years or longer, and so did I. But it was ironic how just at the right time, God allowed our paths to cross. It was shortly after the name of Abundant Life Church was changed to Cross Culture Church. It was around that same time God began dealing with me that there was more to life, more that he had for me to do. And so all of a sudden, as our lives intersected and our families intersected, we began ministering to one another about what he talked about. So I want to share with you, and I highlight that, you know, time. You know, I believe that oftentimes we struggle with God who is all-powerful, God who is all-knowing, God who is all-present. You would agree with me with that, right? But I think you would probably pause if I say God is strategic. God is very strategic. Now, why would I say that? And the reason why I would say that, I have to explain that the only reason why God has to be strategic is because we in this room and in the world, in earth, we're living in time. See, God is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's in full control. He's all powerful. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. But somehow we're here in time. So somehow he, the God of eternity, has to reveal things to us. And we have to understand and process it, guess what, in time. Are you with me? So, but guess what? Before Adam sinned, there was no framework of time. There was no time frame. There was eternity. Time was eternal. That's why God and Adam can communicate with one another and they could just fellowship, and Adam can name the animals because he knew the mind of Christ. He knew the beginning. He can walk with God in time, eternity. But when Adam, when he ate from the tree, guess what? He died. And time became time frames. So what happened was this. Are you with me? Follow me. This is so important. Track with me here. So what happened was God, who was, he was all God and he was still eternal, he had to deal with Adam according to his fallen state, right? But we know that Jesus Christ came, he died for us. On the third day, he rose again. And now all of a sudden, we have fellowship with God our Father. Amen? We know now that we can have revelation about eternity, but we have to operate in time. So God, who is eternal, can execute in eternity. We, who can understand eternity, and one day we will be with him in eternity, we can receive eternal knowledge, but then we have to operate that knowledge in time. God is very strategic. So all of a sudden, because he loved us so much, he wants us, he's walking with us through time. Jesus Christ himself had to come in time. But guess what? He didn't just say, hey, I'm going to die, I'm going to leave you alone. I'm going to live inside of you. So even though I leave, I'm going to put eternity inside of you. Even though you're here, in time, I'm going to put eternity inside of you. So now when I give you my revelation of what Alpha and Omega wants to do, what he's the beginning and the end. Guess what? 1,000 years is 1 year. 1 year is 1,000 years. He knows what's going to happen. So why don't we? Because we're trying to understand revelation in time. Okay? That's very important. So God is very strategic. And so if God is holy, we can be holy. If God is love, we can walk in love. If God is righteous, we can be the righteous. We can put on righteousness. And if God is strategic, we can be strategic. Amen? It's at the dispensation of time Jesus came on the scene. Next slide. So I'm going to help you now with timing. See, God so loved us that he wanted to show us patterns. There's one thing, you can keep that slide there. There's one thing, you know, for those who want a scripture about time, I want to give it to you. In Psalms 90:12, it says, teach us to number our days carefully so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts. So God is wisdom. And the wisdom in our heart will come as we begin to understand eternal revelation and bring that eternal revelation into our heart. And we begin executing and operating from that revelation. Many of us are immobile. We're not able to move because we have the revelation. Some of you today woke up with a dream and a vision from God. You got that eternal download. You know, if I can go back to the mobile network example, you know, most of you have heard of cloud technology. And you're able to download something from the cloud. So you got that download from the kingdom of heaven. And it came to the cell tower, the church. And pastor ministered, and it came to you, the mobile phone. So you got the download. The only problem is you don't know how to use the mobile phone. You don't know why you were created, why he's using someone like you. I got a phone here. It's a BlackBerry. Anybody want it? It's a phone. But it's beyond its time. It had revelation. It had insight that could go for a very long time, but it didn't stay up to date. Many of our brothers and sisters follow moves of God, and they get stuck in time. And all of a sudden, there's still a cell phone, still connected to the tower, still getting, probably can't get downloads because it's out of date. But going to heaven, still in the body of Christ, but guess what? I can't do anything with it. So we strengthen them, we care for them, we work with them. They're still connected, and we still love them. But I got another phone here called the smartphone. Now, in this smartphone, I can download things, and it can tell me, hey, I'm supposed to take my wife out on a date. You know, one of the things my wife, Tracy, you know, she's probably surprised that I'm talking about time because her love language is time. So it's not just spending time. It's not just quality time. But guess what? I got to be on time. And if I'm not on time, that doesn't sound like love to her. So we went to see Black Panther on Friday, and I was in the parking lot at the movie theater. And I was on a call doing business, and she kept calling me. This is good business, though, you know. So she thought I was going to be late. So I called her back after I got off the phone. She said, where are you? I said, I'm outside in front of the theater. So I'm practicing, and I need your prayer to help me to be on time. Because guess what? If I'm not on time, I'm not connected to the cell tower at home. Something's wrong. So let's go now to timing. You can see the diagram, right? So most of you know the story, but I want to tell you this. See, God so loved us, he wanted to give us a picture of what was going to happen. So Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and then no one can give the dream or interpret the dream. So he asked Daniel, actually, they want to kill these folks because they couldn't do it. So Nebuchadnezzar got mad. This dream was so terrifying. I mean, he was like, someone has to interpret it. So, you know, the folks who do all of the other kind of stuff, witchcraft and chants and all those things, they could not interpret the dream. And so he was going to cut their heads off. And so Daniel heard about it. And so he said, hey, tell them not to kill the folks. I've prayed to God, and God has given me the interpretation. So here's a download, okay? So this interpretation was about kingdoms. This interpretation was about mobile networks. You with me? So there was a mobile network called Babylon that Nebuchadnezzar was over, and he says, you're going to rule and reign, and you're going... Actually, let me just read it for you so that you can get the gist of it. So this is what he said. I'm just reading the interpretation. Actually, before I go to Daniel, I'm going to read something that you are using as your two scriptures for this year of cross culture. Acts 17:26, he says, "For one man he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries." So God, he created these nations, and he decided beforehand when they would rise and when they would fall. So this scripture in Daniel is now just amplifying that. Are you with me? So now I'm going to read Daniel 2. So it says, "Your majesty," this is the interpretation, "you are the greatest of kings. The God of heaven has given you sovereignty. He's given you power, strength, and honor. He has made you the ruler over all the inhabitants of the world and has put even the wild animals and birds under your control. You are the head of gold." That's Babylon. But then he said, "But after your kingdom and after your mobile network," there's going to be another mobile network. Some of you are using, you know, one that starts with an S or A or V. You know what I mean? And so just imagine, because some of y'all identities is with that mobile network. Some of your identities is with that mobile network. Some of your identities with that mobile network. But guess what? He said, you know, there's going to come one after you, Babylon or Nebuchadnezzar, because you're going to be the head of gold. But after your kingdom comes to an end, another kingdom inferior to yours will rise to take your place. And after that kingdom has fallen, yet a third, represented by bronze, will rise to rule the world. Following that kingdom, there will be a fourth one as strong as iron. That kingdom will smash and crush all previous empires, just as iron smashes and crushes everything it strikes. The feet and toes you saw were the combination of iron and baked clay, showing that his kingdom will be divided. Like iron mixed with clay, it will have some of the strength of iron, but while some of the parts be as strong as iron, other parts will be weak as clay. This mixture of iron and clay also shows that these kingdoms will try to strengthen themselves by forming alliances with each other through intermarriage, but they will not hold together, just as iron and clay will not mix. Let's go back to that diagram there with the statue standing there. So, about here we go. So, one kingdom, the first kingdom that Nebuchadnezzar was over was Babylon. The second, silver, and was the Medes and Persia. The third was Greece. This is what historians have said. The fourth was Rome. The fifth, we're still, folks are saying, you know, I don't even want to say what historians are saying, but what's more important is this next thing. So let's keep that slide there for now. There's going to come another kingdom, and the kingdom that will come, that came during the Roman kingdom, by the way, this kingdom that will come, it will destroy and crush all these other kingdoms. So in verse 44, again, you can keep the slide there. I'll just read it. During the reign of these kings, no, that's not it. Yeah, here we go, verse 44. During the reign of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed or conquered. So this is the kingdom of God. Remember John the Baptist was saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Right? So Jesus just didn't come. He came with the kingdom. So this is what it's saying. And during the reign of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed or conquered. It will crush all these kingdoms into nothing. It will stand forever. That is the meaning of the rock cut from the mountains, though not by human hands, that crushed into pieces the statue of iron, bronze, clay, silver, and gold. The great God was showing the king what will happen in the future. The dream is true, and its meaning is certain. Amen? So let's break that down now. So you now know that about eternity and time. You're now starting to get a glimpse of timing. God's prophesied what's going to happen. So now you're trying to figure out, okay, where are we in time? Well, we know we're not in the Babylonian Empire. We know we're not in the Mede or Greece or Rome Empire. Jesus came with Rome. Are you with me? So somewhere we're after Rome, and we're maybe either before or at the iron and the clay. But one thing we know for sure is that the kingdom of God is on earth. Are you with me? The kingdom of God is here. So what do you do with that? What do you do with the kingdom of God? How do you operate in the kingdom of God? See, I think just like, and this is my opinion, I think just like that dispensation of time, mankind, God knew that mankind needed Rome to be in existence, to begin understanding government structure. But I believe that just like mankind needed to understand that for Jesus to come on the scene, mankind had to be ready for you. So guess what? Now all of a sudden you have this country, this great country. By the way, I served in the military, so I'm not talking about this country. I love this country. And this is my medal to show. I love America, and I'm a patriot. But guess what? America is not the kingdom of God. And so, but America is necessary because America is the first country that didn't go and rule and come by war and take over other countries. What America wanted to do was through democracy go and influence other nations. Through democracy, America said, hey, we are going to make the world better through democracy. That's a great idea. The only challenge with that is you cannot change a person by changing their way of thinking only. You have to get in their heart. America can't get in your body. Babylon couldn't get in their bodies. They can influence the mind. They can control a military from a militaristic perspective. America can influence democracy through trying to change policies and law and influence your mind. But only Jesus can get in your heart. Only Jesus. That's why we need a kingdom from heaven. That's why this kingdom. It's not that God hates these kingdoms. God realized that thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Won't happen unless he's in your heart. Go and make disciples of nations. Won't happen unless the kingdom of God is in your heart. It's the kingdom of God. It's the SIM card that's in this mobile phone that's going to connect you. It's that SIM card that's going to carry you from here, from Manhattan to Madagascar. It's that SIM card that's going to make Madagascar connect to Manhattan. It's Jesus is the SIM card. He's the super SIM card in our hearts that will allow us to, guess what, communicate now freely with heaven. See, I believe that. I used to wonder, God, why did you say the kingdom of heaven here and then the kingdom of God here? See, I believe the kingdom of heaven is the command center. I believe the kingdom of God is where the church would go and democratize all nations under the rule of the kingdom of heaven. But it won't be by law. It won't be by military. Remember when Peter cut off the ear, he said, you don't know what kingdom you're from. It's going to be by the love that he's placed in our heart. It's going to be by a different culture. It's going to be by a cross culture. Are you with me? So what is this? How do we get to this cross culture? See, when that SIM card is placed in your heart, that SIM card represents Jesus. Are you with me? And that SIM card, you're going to have to identify with that cross. You're going to have to identify that this man, Jesus, came on the scene for me. And not only did this SIM card come for me, where's my phone? He came for me. See, I once was a BlackBerry. I was dead in trespasses and sin. I was no good for no one. I told my wife, I said, listen, and please, don't put this on. I don't want BlackBerry suing me. But I was dead in my trespasses and sin. But Jesus came, and he came inside of my heart. And he gave me a purpose. Not only a purpose, he gave me a place. He gave me timing. I was born for such a time as this. I am a smart card in the kingdom of God. I'm a smartphone in the kingdom. What about you? It's a SIM card inside of you. But see, it's not enough just to have the SIM card. It's not enough just to be connected to the kingdom of heaven. You got to turn it on. It's not enough just to get a phone call from your pastor. It's not enough just to get the revelation from God. You got to answer the phone. Many are called, but few are chosen. But when you call, do you pick up the phone? And what is he saying? What is he saying to you? See, this is personal. This is my phone. This SIM card is my SIM card. It's a personal relationship. What is he saying to you? You know? So after you identify with the cross, and how many of you have identified with the cross, the birth, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Amen. And if you haven't, that's okay. There's plenty of SIM cards. We don't run out. But after that, you know, on a mobile phone, if you don't upgrade, if you don't renew your mind to the Word of God, you're going to become old. You're going to become, even though you got a new phone, the operating system has to stay intact. It has to be in sync with the network and the command center. It has to be on the right version, on the right time. Otherwise, guess what? Your timing's off. The cell tower, the phone will drop. All of a sudden, what used to work's not working anymore. What's happening? You're overloaded. You're overburdened. It's not working. So this cross-examine, the Bible says when you take when you're taking communion, let a man examine themselves. I believe you can do that every day. You don't have to take communion. As you renew your mind to the Word of God, you can always examine yourself in every area of life. So now you've identified with the cross, you cross-examine yourself. Just like a lawyer cross-examines a witness, you can cross-examine yourself. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. But what we can do, examine ourselves. So if you have peace with God and you're at peace with man, all of a sudden you've gone through what I consider the next phase. See, in America, everyone who's born in America is a citizen of America. But not everyone's an ambassador for America. So is it safe to say that everyone who's identified with the cross is a citizen of heaven? But that doesn't mean you're an ambassador of heaven. What does ambassadors do? They go and represent the nation from which they're from. So if you can desire to be an ambassador, but if you're not going anywhere, you're not an ambassador. If you're not going on behalf of the kingdom of heaven, you're not an ambassador. Doesn't mean you're not a child of God. Doesn't mean God doesn't love you. Doesn't mean you're not praising God. Now he's not. Doesn't mean you're not upgraded. Doesn't mean that you're not doing nice things. But what it does mean is that there's another level to go to. So as we look at the cross, as we examine ourselves, we can then begin representing what? A kingdom, a new kingdom, a kingdom that will destroy all these other kingdoms. Not destroy them in force. It's just going to destroy. I mean, look at the world today. Many of us are struggling trying to understand society and the world because our identity is in one of those kingdoms. Many of us are struggling and wondering about our jobs and will our jobs or government provide because our identity is in one of those kingdoms. So we have to begin transitioning over to where our kingdom is. Where you, whatever you identify with, you can crap. Go ahead, brother or sister, whatever. Let's do that. Because this is important. This is important for us. I talk to many Christians in the United States and other countries I go, and we're trying to figure out what's happening. You're saved. Your mind is renewed. You're doing the downloads on a regular basis. So why is it not working? Could it be that you're on the wrong network? Could it be that you're connected to the kingdom of this world, Born again, smartphone and all, got the right version, but wanting to connect here as opposed to here. Could it be that as a child of God, see, I believe that God said, Jesus has come to set the captive free. So who the Son sets free is free indeed. What does that mean? You can do whatever you want to do, even as a child of God. You can connect to this kingdom. You can identify with that kingdom. You can identify with that, but doesn't that what it will do? It will hinder you. It will limit you and what you can do. Now, I'm not talking about the kingdom of darkness. You understand? Now, I'm not talking about that. Now, you can do that too if you want, but that's another story. I don't have time for that story. But it's a bad story, and you don't want to go. You don't want to connect with that kingdom. So these kingdoms that I'm talking about right here, and this is, don't think of them as just bad. They're evil. They're just another kingdom. You know, it's like, just like he said. What did he say? He knows. He set the time. He said he knows when one nation will rise and the other will fall. He knew when Babylon would fall. He knew when Greece would fall. He knew when Rome would fall. He knew that the kingdom of God would come. And now all of a sudden, we're at this time. See, this is helping us with timing. Now we're at this time where it was okay. There was a point in time 10, 20 years ago, you can identify with the kingdom, and it looked the same. Your faith in the kingdom, all, you know, it was all good. But now all of a sudden, this kingdom that wasn't built by hands is coming. And now all of a sudden, we don't know what to do with that. And we have to now start making these adjustments. I'm going to move my family plan to the kingdom. I'm going to move my identity to the kingdom. Amen? All right, I'm winding down here. So, in this cross kingdom, the kingdom of God, you begin intersecting with other cultures, other nationalities, other ethnic groups, other generations. See, in this kingdom, there's no bond or free. There's no male or female. There's no Jew nor Gentile. We're all equal in the cross kingdom, in the kingdom of God. See, the more you want this phone to work for you, you got to understand all of its features and functions. The Bible says all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and called according to his purpose. All things on the network work together for good, for the glory of God. The kingdom of God is here. It's a question of, will we connect to it? So the intersection and engaging with other cultures is not it's a command. It's a necessity. It has to happen. You know, if you don't, it doesn't hinder. You know, think about one of the networks that you use for your phone. Now, what if they said, we're just going to stay in Boise, Idaho? That's all, we're going to just stay in Boise. I mean, that would sound crazy, but say, well, we're going to take over the world. We're going to advance the kingdom of God, but we're not going anywhere. We're just going to stay right here. It's like, don't hold your breath. But for some reason, as the body of Christ, we think that, hey, we're just going to stay in our culture. We're only going to deal with people my age. We're going to only deal with people from New Jersey or Atlanta. Or we're only going to deal with people from, I was getting ready to say Mexico, but you get the point. That's not the body of Christ. That's not the kingdom of God. That is not a cross culture. It does not exist. That is not part of the prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. There's no download like that from heaven. You can't take sides. This is not politics. It's kingdom. Again, our identity, someone's identity helps you identify what kingdom they are associated with. Doesn't mean they're bad people. It just helps you begin understanding and walking in love. So you are a part of a cross kingdom. You are part of cross culture. This is the year of cross culture. So now we know the time, we know the timing. Now it's about, so what part will you play in history? What part will you play in time? I'm just going to go to one section of the Bible in Genesis, and it's real simple. All of you probably know this. When God created man, what did he tell him to do? Be fruitful, multiply, replenish, and subdue. So, next slide, please. Let's go. Yeah, I got that picture. I already talked about. Let's go to there real quick so you just get a representation. Then let's go back up one, please. There you go. So that's a depiction of the kingdom of God destroying all the other kingdoms, okay? But the way he's doing it, again, is putting that SIM card in the hearts of you and I. Jesus is coming to rule and reign in our hearts first. Okay, next slide, please. So here it is, your place in history. You ready? Here we go. You said it already. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish, and subdue. Most of the time, for years, I thought that word be fruitful meant have a lot of babies. Well, we got two. In some countries, maybe that's fruitful. But that's not what God was talking about. Be fruitful means to produce. There's a difference between producing and consuming. So your singular purpose that your pastor's been ministering on, it helps you begin understanding what you are supposed to produce. So now all of a sudden, if you understand the time, the timing, and the network that you are a part of, the culture, the cross culture, the kingdom that you're a part of, you will then begin looking at what role do I play and what must I produce? See, I believe that if Adam never sinned, you still would produce the very thing you're supposed to be producing. God, again, he is the Alpha and Omega. He did not have to go and say, oh, this is wrong, and get an eraser and erase it. He knew before he formed you in your mother's womb the plans he had for you. He didn't adjust the plan because of Satan. He didn't adjust the plan because Adam ate from the tree. God knew that you would be building cities. He knew that you would be feeding people. He knew that you would bring glory to his kingdom. The only thing is we're doing it on a small scale because we're operating in time in the other kingdoms. Culture has trained us to operate at a much lower level. But as we get this revelation from God, you'll rise up and see, and you know, we are seated in heavenly places right now, positionally. So the revelation is possible. The ability to operate is sure. So he says, that's why he said it, be fruitful. The reason why you can be fruitful now is because Jesus is in your heart. When Adam sinned, it was impossible to do the things that God calls you to do. You could just follow certain laws. But now Jesus is inside of you. You can get that eternal download and you can operate within time and fulfill the plans that he has for you. But he didn't stop there. He said, multiply, reproduce. So all you got to do, all we have to do is do it once. What is the thing? Raise $150,000. Well, let's start with raising $15. If you can raise $15, you can raise $150,000. If you can raise $150,000, you can raise $1,500. If you raise $1,500, $150,000. Just produce one time and then reproduce that same model. So be fruitful, produce, reproduce. Replenish, that means distribute. Replenish, distribute, what, you know, replenish what? What you just produced. Distribute it to other nations. Distribute the cross culture, distribute the DNA that's in this church. Distribute the vision, the mind, the heart of God, not only here in Lithonia, now called Stonecrest. Distribute it to Atlanta and Roswell and Macon and New York and South Africa. This is what your pastor, you know, when I met with him, I just said, just tell me your vision. Just tell me what God has for you. And so literally for years, all I did was listen and observe. And everything that he talked to me about, and talk to you about. I'm seeing. But he can't do it alone. It's our role. It's our responsibility. And then, subdue. That means to control, to go and take control. So if you produce, you reproduce, you distribute, and then you control. And guess what happens after that? You will take dominion. Dominion is not a destination or a pursuit. It's a result. It's a result of producing. It's a result of reproducing. It's a result of distributing. It's a result of taking control. And I'll end with this. You all know you have the capital improvement goal. You can join a connection group. You can do one outreach per month. You can adopt a neighborhood, or you can be influential. The question and the choice is yours. Are you going to upgrade your SIM card, your operating system? Are you going to connect to the cell tower? Are you going to get a download from Kingdom of Heaven? And are you going to produce? Amen. Pastor.